Hello everyone and welcome to Abbots Cross Congregational Church. You're very welcome wherever you're watching. We trust that as we live stream this Good Friday service, we trust that you will know the Lord's blessing and that where you are, you're safe, where you are, you're comfortable, where you are, you're in the presence of family and friends and that you're trusting the Lord for a blessed time. This is a blessed time in the Christian calendar, Easter. As we think about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, we think of his resurrection, and we think of those consequences and the truths that come from that, and we rejoice. This is the most important weekend in the Christian calendar. I've often said that if Easter was never going to have happened, then Christmas was pointless. But nevertheless, he was born today, and we rejoice in a dying, but in a resurrected Savior. He's living in the power of an endless life. So we welcome you wherever you're listening to, whether you're in Scotland or whether it's in Spain or whether it's in Germany or whether it's in other parts of the world or whether it's over there in Macherfeld or here at home. You're all indeed very welcome, and we trust that we know the Lord's blessing and his help. We want to commit our gathering to the Lord in prayer. We want to know his presence. We want to know his help. We have a few folk taking part tonight. We have Alec Rob, who's singing in this meeting, and we want to thank him for sending us and recording the services, his singing for this service. So let's still our hearts. Let's gather your children around your feet. This is a very important service as we think about the cross and what Christ has done. And let's gather the folks around and let us pray together and ask for his help as we come together this evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of singing and of listening to the Word of God and to fellowship, Lord, around your Word. And though we might be separated by walls, we thank you, Lord, that we are a church without walls because you're a God who transcends walls. You're everywhere present at the same time. And our Father, we pray that throughout every activity that we're involved in here this evening, whether it's in the singing of the hymns, whether it's in the preaching of your word, or whether it's in the ministry of song, Lord, that you by your Holy Spirit will enter into every home and enter into every heart and grant, O God, that every individual might be truly blessed of God. We pray your blessing upon us now as we meet together. We ask for your blessing. For those, Lord, who perhaps feel unwell this evening, Lord, for those perhaps who feel a bit discouraged and downhearted, Lord, we pray that something that is said tonight, Lord, will lift the hearts of those who are despairing at the situation in which we find ourselves. We ask too, Lord, for those who are critically ill through this COVID-19 coronavirus. And we ask, Lord, that you will enter into every hospital room and into every hospital ward. And those, Lord, who are stricken down with this awful plague, we ask, God, that you will lay a healing touch upon each one. For those who have lost loved ones, we pray that you'll draw graciously near and bring comfort to their hearts. And may, Lord, the evidence of the resurrected Christ be felt in every heart and in every life this evening. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As is our custom, we're going to sing some songs together, carefully chosen tonight because of the theme of the cross. We're going to sing three verses of "There is a fountain filled with blood," drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I'm so encouraged as I hear people tell me how that they've been singing at home, and someone said to me recently that their neighbours were wondering what they're singing about, and they're out in their garden singing as they're listening to the service. So open the windows and open the doors, and let's really sing to the glory of God.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawing from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more. sin no more. Till all the ransom church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw that stream, thy flowing word supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
For every blood bought and every blood washed and every spirit-born child of God, that is the greatest truth that we could ever sing. Now, there's a fountain filled with blood drawing from Emmanuel's veins. We're going to sing another song, and this time, who alone can save themselves? And I trust that as we sing this one that you'll know it and you'll sing it your very best.
Who, O Lord, could save themselves? Their own sin could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your love is deeper still. Who, O Lord, could save themselves?
Song that's probably well known, and I'm sure you've sang it many times, is sung to the tune of the Roundtree. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee, thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. This little song is inspirationally written in that it encompasses all of the gospel of Jesus Christ. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? This is a somber theme. It's a somber night in one sense. It's called Good Friday. Good Friday because it's good for us. But it was the most awesome, awful night that befell the Lord Jesus, how he bore our sin and our shame.
Oh Christ, what burden bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead. Despair all ill. last dark drop, 'tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up, now blessings drop for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up, now blessings drop for me. The tempest's awful voice was heard, was my ward, it braved the storm for me. Thy form was scarred, thy visage marred, now cloudless peace for me. Thy form was scarred, thy visage marred, now cloudless peace for me. Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bands are all untied, and now thou livest in me. When purified, made white and tried, thy glory then for me.
And song that has been become very popular and well known, What Gift of Grace, Yet Not I, because at the end of the day, it will not be what we have done, what we have accomplished, what we have achieved. It will not be what we have merited. It will be what Christ has done. I've often said, when I get to heaven, I'll not be patting myself on the back and thinking how wonderful I was and how much work I did for the Lord. It will be just one simple theme. It is because of what Christ has done, and has done enough for me.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. For he is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. This I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Amen. I trust that as we've been singing those songs, that you've known something of the Lord's help. Just very quickly, I'm going to give you some announcements as we tell you of the weekend. Tonight we're speaking on the greatest thing that Jesus ever said, the greatest statement that he ever made. And then on Sunday morning, we're looking at the greatest event that ever happened, the greatest thing that he ever did. And so on Easter Sunday morning. But tonight we have Alec Robb singing in just a few moments. We'll have Paul Irwin singing with us on Sunday morning. And then we'll have Sophia Taylor singing on Sunday evening. And Andrew Cuthbert will be speaking. Now, this incoming week from Sunday is supposed to be our 10th offering, which goes to, in its entirety, to our missionaries. And so if you have a way or a means of getting an offering to either Tommy or some of the folks in the church, you'll see all the details on the website or on Facebook. Then we'll encourage you to do that. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray before we have Alec, and he's going to come and sing, minister two songs to us just now. Father, we just want to commend and commit ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for our hope that's in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he tore the bars away. He defeated hell and death. And we thank you, Lord, he accomplished that which man could never accomplish on his own. We thank you that he overcame the enemy. We thank you that he overcame sin and death, and he defeated man's last enemy. We rejoice in Jesus. And thank you for Easter. Thank you for the meaning of Easter, that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might be forgiven. Lord, we pray that you'll impact these truths upon our hearts. Bless every soul that's listening and every individual who has great need at this time. Lord, bless Alec as he now ministers in song, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Tomorrow I'm going away. There's the shadow of a cross on my soul. Can I face the coming day? Shall I pray, Father, save me from this role? Oh, disciples, please watch o'er my soul 1 hour. Dark and lonely is the way. For my purpose in life,
was to come to this hour. So please watch and pray. Let this cup pass away from me. If there is no other way to fulfill, I will lay down my life for thee. For thy joy and light is my will. O disciples, please watch o'er my soul. 1 hour, dark and lonely is the way. For my purpose in life was to come to this hour. So please watch and pray. Tomorrow I'm going to die. My disciples are going to see that if I am lifted high, I will draw multitude unto me. O disciples, please watch o'er my soul. 1 hour, dark and lonely is the way. For my purpose in life was to come to this hour. So please watch and pray. Please, please watch and pray. Please, please, please watch and pray. Savior there on Calvary. O soul of mine, be still, reflect a while. Gaze on his face, those hands, his feet, inside into his eyes, portraying naught of God. Why was he there by God and man forsaken? The man of sorrows bows his head to die. Why was he there? Yes, there is an answer. 'tis found within the word for all to see that God so loved the world he gave his son who gave himself from sin to set me free. Why was he there? My God, I'm lost in wonder. But show to me how dreadful sin can be. Just as I am, behold me, Lord, in mercy. I will be thine and thine forevermore. Will thou cleanse me? Your blood is my atonement. If you will pardon, I will you adore. No longer there, no more a man of sorrow, but risen, exalted, reigning Prince is he.
Well, it's wonderful with modern technology. Alec is not in the same building as me. He was here. He did record that at the beginning of the week. And Alec, thank you for making the effort, and we really, really appreciate it. What blessed ministry. What a message to our hearts as we come to the Word of God here this evening. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, and I would encourage you to have a Bible with you when we come to these meetings, whether they're live streamed or whether you're here physically in the church, and read along with the scriptures. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 19. John's Gospel chapter 19, and we are going to read from verse 25. John's Gospel chapter 19, and we will be reading from verse 25. And whilst you're doing that, I want to say hello to those, and I'm not going to mention names, but I know that there's lots of folk, and we're saying hello to you there in Carrickfergus, and you know who you are. We're saying hello to those who are in Ballycarry. We're saying hello to those who are over in Machrafelt. We're saying hello to those who are in Ballyclare. We're saying hello to those here in Newton Abbey, and we're saying hello to those right around. For those of you who are near and far, we trust that you will feel very much part of the service, and as Alec was singing there, I very, very clearly felt the sense of the Lord and his presence in this gathering, in this place. I'm going to invite you then to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 19, and let's begin to read at the verse 25, and we shall read down to verse 35. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Mark that. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The disciples therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith that ye might believe. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Jesus made many wonderful statements during his earthly ministry. Statements that gladdened the hearts of many, statements that inspired, statements that enraged, and statements that astounded, and even statements that silenced the crowd, the many that heard him. Statements that made people gasp at what he was after saying. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29 tells us that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. In John 7, 46, never speak a man like this man. Here's some of the things that Jesus said. In John 8 and 58, he said, Before Abraham was, I am, speaking of his eternity. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, I am, and I and my Father are one, speaking of his deity. In John 14 and verse 9, he says, He that has seen me has seen the Father, speaking of his identity. In John 14, verses 1 to 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, speaking of surety. In John chapter 6, verse 47, he says, He that believeth in me hath everlasting life, speaking of authority. Every single one of these statements are a goldmine of theological truth and are absolutely necessary in understanding and coming to a correct understanding of who Jesus is. But I believe that in verse 30 of John's Gospel, chapter 19, are the most important words that Jesus ever said. Listen to them. Three words. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And upon those three words, simple words stand everything else that Jesus claimed and Jesus proclaimed. Some would argue that this is a cry of defeat. Others would argue that they're the words of a man who lost everything. They're a million miles away from the truth. These are the words of a conqueror. These are the words of someone who succeeded in doing something that was seen to be impossible. These are the words of victory. These are the words of triumph. These are the words of a conqueror. This evening we're going to investigate these words. We'll do it as simply and as quickly as we can. But such words deserve godly, spiritual meditation and consideration. When Jesus said these three words, very quickly I want to say this to you. The pain of redemption was finished. The pain of redemption was finished. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, we emphasized in verse 28. Many of us know what pain is. Many of us have experienced much pain. Some people suffer from backache. Some people suffer from heartache. Some people suffer from migraine headaches. I suggest to you that you never experience pain like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you three elements of that pain very quickly. His was a physical pain. The death that Jesus Christ died on the cross was one of absolute torture. You and I can't even begin to imagine all the pain that Jesus endured to ensure that we would be set free. Let me refresh your mind. I'll give you a statement and you can write down the reference. This scourged him. Matthew chapter 27 verse 26. That was a leather whip with several strands, and attached to those strands were lead pieces. And as they strike the back of the victim, they would tear lumps of flesh from the victim. In Luke chapter 22, verse 63 and 64, they mocked him and they struck him. Psychological and physical clubbing. In Matthew chapter 7, 27 and 30, they spat upon him. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38, they brought him to a place called Calvary, and there they crucified him. They impaled him on a cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, they stripped him naked. And the beard was plucked from his face, says Isaiah in chapter 50 and verse 6. But I don't believe, dear friends, and those that are you listening, I don't believe for one minute that there's any more telling description of the suffering of Christ than what Isaiah said in Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Listen to these words. As many as were astonished or as astonied at thee, his visage was more marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. By the time the wicked and the cruel and the evil and the devious hands of man were finished mocking and spitting and flailing the flesh of this, our dear Savior, he was unrecognizable. In fact, he was so beaten, so distorted, so disfigured, you couldn't have known who he was. The efforts of the religious hypocrites and leaders seeking to make a public spectacle of him, they were so intense and so severe, they beat him more than any other at that time. And I suggest to you, my dear friend, the reason that they gave him such beating, because it wasn't that he had rebelled against the government. It was that they wanted to discourage the present and the potential followers of Jesus. You ever heard of someone saying, we're going to make an example of you? I wasn't an angel at school, and I was always getting into trouble. And I can remember oftentimes hearing the words from the headmaster. You would call him a principal, but we called them, or they called them headmasters in our day. And very often he says, Mr. Galanders, I'm going to make a spectacle of you. I'm going to make an example of you. And his reasoning and his purpose to make an example by giving me slaps or whatever the case may have been at that time was so that it would deter the other students from doing what I had been doing. It was physical. I want you to notice very quickly, it was psychological. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Simply put, he, knowing what the cross meant, knowing the impact, the import, knowing what it meant to be hung on a cross, the cross of his shame, the cross of indignity. As Paul put it, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What it must have meant for our high, holy, and heavenly one to take upon himself the sin of man. And the very reason that the Jewish leaders had wanted the Romans to judge him and to examine him was because they wanted him to suffer the Roman death. And that guaranteed that he'd be crucified on a cross. The cross of shame and the cross of a curse. Oh, the psychological suffering that he must have endured. I wonder, was this the reason that he cried unto the Father in Luke chapter 22, if it be possible, let this cup pass from thee, from me. And then we read in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and he sweat as it were great drops of blood. Such was the psychological suffering of our Savior. The one who inhabited the ivory palaces of glory, the one who thread the crystal roads of heaven's highways, now becoming sin for us who knew no sin. I don't know about you. My sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus. He took my place and he stood in my stead. What did that not mean to him? You ever tried to drink or eat something that had gone off or gone sour or become rotten? You ever tried to eat something that's become molded all over? You ever think of putting on someone else's old stinking clothes? Not getting too graphic. Imagine consuming the filth and dirt of some other individual. Yet how far short that falls from what our dear Savior did on that Good Friday as he bore my sin and shame. We sang earlier, death and the curse were in our cup, O Christ, was full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. Can I suggest to you very quickly, not only was it physical suffering, not only was it psychological suffering, but I suggest to you it was emotional suffering. And we learn there from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, where Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to consider this. That on the cross, as he became sin for me, he was abandoned by the Father. Abandoned. He who had a perfect relationship. Here the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him again as he said, here, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. They had a perfect relationship. Unbroken communion and unbroken fellowship between Christ the Son, between God the Son and God the Father. And a moment on the cross, as he took my place, he was abandoned by the Father. And that suffering was so deeply felt, he was emotionally disturbed. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father, unable to tolerate sin in his presence, at that moment judged the Lord Jesus Christ as he would a sinner. And the judgment was evidenced by the abandonment of the Father from the Son. Oh, dear soul, we're enduring social isolation and distancing in these days. And we're yearning to meet with our loved ones, our grandchildren, our sons and daughters. We long to embrace them again. Oh, for Christ the Son of God and God the Father to be distant at that moment. How much it broke his heart. How much it broke the Father's heart. Why did he suffer these things? Why did the Lamb of God willingly offer up his life as an atonement for our sins? Let me give you three reasons. To fulfill the Father's will. We read in John chapter 4 and verse 34, it says, Jesus, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Having been brought up, like many of you, I'm sure, not with very much of this world's goods, when we got food, we didn't ask where it came from. You didn't turn your nose up on it, and you didn't demand something else. You've all heard the saying, you eat to live. Don't live to eat. Well, Jesus didn't live to eat. He lived to do the will of the Father. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. My dear friend, he came to fulfill the Father's will. He came to display the Father's love. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to know how much God loves you, then look to Calvary. Look no further. Some question, because of the circumstances of today and what's going on in our world, that somehow God doesn't care, God doesn't love us. The evidence of God's love is that he gave the very best that he had, so that you and I might have the very best that he has. He came to deliver the Father's world. Notice John on that glorious day in John chapter 1 where he announces, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, there should have been a chorus. There should have been a hallelujah chorus raised up the moment that John said those words. Behold the Lamb of God. I bought a power washer just a few weeks ago and undertook to do some power washing around the front and the backyard. Esther and I were involved in doing a little bit of work around the house. To give you an idea of the area in the front of our house, you can park about 15 cars around the front of our house. And around the back, there are 16-inch concrete slabs. I don't know what the metric is, but you can do the maths yourself. There are about 70 to 80 of those slabs around the back. Over 20 hours power hosing. Over 20 hours slowly getting through all that area. When the work was slow, it took approximately 20 hours. And when it was done, one of us said, phew, finished. The other shouted, wahoo, it's done. Great job, brilliant. One was a cry of relief, the other a shout of triumph. I'll let you make up your mind as to who said what. All I can say to Esther is I'm proud of you. I admire the way you did it. The pain of redemption was finished. Notice as we motor on, the plan of redemption was finished. Not only was his pain at an end, that isolation, that distancing, that pain, that psychological, that physical, that emotional torment. But the plan that began away beginning in the beginning, which never began in the countless years of the eternity gone by, was now finished and completed. It says in Revelation 18 and 13 and verse 8, he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter takes it up and he says in 1 Peter 1, he says he was a lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was verily foreordained from before the foundation of the world. He gets it. Bang on. From the very, very beginning, God was planning a way out for sinners, a remedy for sin, a highway of holiness. A way that God could be merciful and yet righteous. This was his promise to Adam when he fell. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right in the garden of rebellion, the promise was given of a redeemer. And right throughout the history of man and the history of God's people, we see again and again by the instructions that God gave for sacrifices, there were prophetical illustrations of the day we would stand at the cross. Since the dawn of time, man sinned in the Garden of Eden. God killed an animal to cover their nakedness. Unto Adam and Eve and to his wife he gave, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. For them to have fellowship and communion. For them to be properly attired and properly covered in the presence of a holy God. Something, someone had to shed blood. My dear friend, for you to have relationship and fellowship with God, you must not depend on your works of righteousness and your self-righteousness, nor can you depend on your any merit or standard, but solely on the blood of another. How quickly Adam and Eve sought to provide their own means of approaching God. A man-made covering, they cover themselves with fig leaves. God, right at the start, right at the beginning, in the garden where it all went wrong, God provided a covering, symbolizing and illustrating in a prophetical way what it will take to be reconciled to God. We see it in the garden, we see it in Genesis 4, where Abel brought a lamb to the slaughter as an offering. We find it in Genesis 8, where Noah presented a lamb for sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel killed the Passover lamb after scrutinizing it for 3 days. But notice, my dear friend, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. All that blood and all that death did one thing. It merely rolled the sins of the one that was offering up to a date further ahead. It withheld the judgment of God for a moment, because the person offering the sacrifice did so in the knowledge that a more complete sacrifice was coming one day. Some of you pay for things by your credit card, and all that does is delay the date of payment. Those Old Testament believers were saved by faith, just like men are saved today. They were saved by looking forward to that great day when the Messiah would come. We are saved by looking back to that day when the Messiah died. When the Old Testament sacrifices did nothing to remove the sins of the people, the death of Jesus on the cross did everything to deal with the sin issue forever. I love these verses in Hebrews 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For as the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That great plan formulated in the ivory palace of glory before the mud seals of this old world were ever formed was perfectly completed and perfectly finished when the Lamb of God died on the cross. And everything that God requires, and everything that God required, and everything that God planned was accomplished by those three little words: it is finished. That wonderful plan from redemption, from eternity, in the annals of eternity, in the beginning which never began. Jesus Christ, in full cooperation with God the Father and God the Spirit, presented himself as sacrifice for man. And you think that your goodness, your good works, your self-righteousness, your good habits, you think that somehow you can sow the fig leaves of your own good works, that somehow God will accept. And that is to say that God wasted his time and Jesus suffered unnecessarily. The plan of redemption was finished. Oh, listen, folks. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, can you see how wonderful today is? Good Friday, yes, for us. What a day, glorious day. Deserves us to lift our hearts in praise and thank God for his wonderful mercy to the children of men. The righteousness of God was satisfied. The holiness of God was satisfied. The justice of God was satisfied. Through the sinless sacrifice of Christ to the cross. I have no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. This is the last thought, folks. Not only was the pain of redemption finished, not only was the plan of redemption finished, but the payment of redemption was finished. Verse 30. It is finished. Jesus was saying, everything is now in place. Everything is done. The last piece of the puzzle's in place. Every detail of the plan of the Father that he had made in eternity is now complete. That's good news for you and me. After all, we could never be good enough, never do enough, never pay enough, never say enough. Many don't seem to get that, do they? They try to do it their own way. If you do that, then this suffering explained earlier was unnecessary, and the Father's planning was a nonsense. People tell me, day in and day out, I do this and I don't do that. I say this and I've said that and they've done this and I haven't done that. They've paid this and they've given that. The reality is, dear friends, that's all my way, not God's way. The Bible plainly tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And according to Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And at best, we're only sinners. And nothing we shall do will ever appease or atone for the death for our sin. You see, the word that Jesus used in John chapter 19 and verse 30, tetelestai or tetelestai, it is finished. That was a common word in those days. Listen to the meaning. Listen to those groups who would have used it. It was a servant's word. When a servant had completed a difficult job that his master had given him to do, he would say to the master, tetelestai, tetelestai, it's done. Everything you've asked me to do is done. Done. Nothing's left undone. It was a priest's word. When they brought their offerings and their sacrifices to the priest, he would examine these offerings and he'd make sure, because the law required that it be a perfect sacrifice. And there need not be any imperfections on the animal that was brought. And the priest would look over and he'd declare in the Hebrew, which is similar to the Greek word tetelestai, it is perfect, it's complete, it's finished. An artist's word. When the artist had finished a painting or a sculpture, shifting this and changing that and colouring this and the last dab here, until he'd stand back and he'd look at his portrait and it said, it is tetelestai, it is complete, finished, perfect. It's a merchant's word. When the merchant in the marketplace made a sale and the money was handed over, he would say, tetelestai, the deal is finished. Both parties are satisfied. Oh, do you hear it? The holy, righteous God is satisfied by the perfect sacrifice of the Son on the cross. I can never enter into the full weight and authority of what is being said there, but I know this, that my heavenly Father accepted the sacrifice on my behalf. Oh, this is not the cry of a defeated man. This is instead the shout of a victor. This is the exultant cry of one who has won a great victory and has satisfied every demand of a holy God. And because of the cross, my God can be merciful. The wonderful thing is, on that day, all those who heard the word tetelestai, the servants, those that offered the sacrifices, the buyers, the sellers, the artists, the parents and the children, everybody understood. Whenever Jesus said tetelestai, they understood what he was saying. Do you know what that's saying to you and I? Do you know what it's saying? Hear the simple message of the gospel. It's finished for you. It's all done. There's no need now to try and manufacture some kind of good work or try to do some other good little deed. Simply by faith in what Christ has done, we can be saved. I love what Paul says, and with this I'm going to finish. He said, he made us accepted in the beloved. It means that salvation comes on the basis of pure, simple faith in what Christ did 2,000 years ago. And if you want to be saved, and if you want to be born again, or if you haven't got a thankful heart, then look again at what Christ was doing. Look at the physical suffering. Look at the psychological suffering. Look at the emotional suffering. Look at the payment that is made. Look at the plan that was accomplished all through that one single act on the cross for you and me. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. Can I say that one great statement or one statement that would receive the news headlines with gratitude would be the COVID-19, the coronavirus, has been defeated. They've found a cure. And the world's media would arrive at the individual that had discovered it, and he would be given the Nobel Peace Prize, and we would be giving him all sorts of accolades. And we did the right thing last night. We clapped the NHS for the hard work for those who are care workers and for those who are manning the stalls and the tills in the shops that we buy our food. We give them a clap, and we rightly do so. But who's giving Jesus the glory, who defeated the greatest plague that ever hit the world? The plague of sin. I can tell you this. Man would flee and man would fall over himself to get the antidote for the COVID-19 coronavirus. But why is it that there's few there be that find it? Because far too many are fond of their sin. And that sin's bringing them to a Christless hell. And only Christ can deliver you. Listen to this last song by Alec. As he sings, we'll just pray now. And after Alex finished, our service is finished. I'll say nothing more, but enjoy these last words as we sign out. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning, here as usual, with the message of the resurrection burning in our hearts, the greatest thing that Jesus ever did. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessing upon those that are listening. We ask, O God, that you'll impact hearts and cause men and women to reach out to Jesus as Alec closes our service with singing, "It is finished." Amen.
There's a line that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross a battle is raging. for the gain of man's soul or its loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun, it refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there will be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. Yet in my heart the battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war have come home. These were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Oh, then I heard how the King of the ages, he had fought all life's battles for me, and victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there will be